Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2023. We are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 63, the fourth paragraph down. Our readers today are Mary P. reading the 12 Steps, Kathy B. reading the 12 Traditions, Kara L., Eileen M., and Reggie O. reading our text. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and making announcements will be Betsy H., so please make sure you stay around for all of it. Okay. Our share IDs for the last two meetings. Yesterday, the special edition meeting on Sunday, the share ID is 19,998 or 19998. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, is 20,000. Or 20000. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contribution, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. And Kathy B., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Yes, good morning. I am Kathy B., a recovered compulsive overeater from Oklahoma. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 63, the fourth paragraph down. I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Kathy. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to the cause and the conditions, causes and conditions. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. So now I've made a decision that, all right, my life's unmanageable. That there is something that is greater than me that could help me, because I've been banging my head against the wall. I'm going to trust that whatever that something is, it's going to bring me back to sanity, because I've tried everything I know how to do. And I've made the decision to trust that and say, okay, whatever you need, I'm gonna trust that you're gonna bring me back to sanity, right? And I'm gonna make that decision. Now that I've made that decision, I still have all those things in my toolbox that I keep pulling out to use, you know, manipulation, nagging, being so good. I mean, just all those things that I continue to use. And then I also build up reasons why I had to use them and how I was justified. And I see the world in this very, very narrow view. So what I have to do is I got to get in there and I got to say, okay, all right. And I asked this higher power, I said, you know, hey, God, help me get all of that out. Help me heal all of those resentments, all of those fears, all those indiscretions that I am so shameful about. Help me get them out to you and help me them not be a secret, so to another person also. And help me get those things out so that I can keep this connection that I've started to form with you and I can keep on growing it. So I got to get in there and I got to just lay it all out. Because I don't want those things to block me. I don't want to be pulling from my own tool chest, so I got to clean it out. I want to be pulling from God's tool chest. I want to be asking and saying, how do you need this to look? What does this look like in my life? How do I accomplish your will? And I can't do that if I keep going back into my old tool chest. So I got to get it cleaned out. And once I lighten those things, I'm more able to focus on that connection and keeping that mind with my higher power in tune and strong. So when I do falter and I do go back to that tool chest, it's easy for me to say, okay, let's clean this up again and let me do your will today, God. Let me have you show me the way that things that need to happen. And so that's why it says next, I got to take this vigorous action because I want to keep what I discovered in steps 1, 2, and 3. I'm really looking forward to hearing what everybody else has to say. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kara. Let's see. I'm just trying to stop the timer here. Okay. Okay. So now I'm going to take names of people who would like to share. Please remember that if you shared in the last 2 days on any of our meetings, meeting Friday or Sunday, we ask that you allow others to jump in first who have not shared in the recent days. Okay, who would like to share today?
Tom L.
Sarah B.
Eileen
M. L. Who else?
Eileen.
Eileen M.
Sarah B. from Michigan.
Sorry, who B?
Kara,
K-A-R-A. Okay, Kara B. from Michigan. Who else?
Kathleen O. in California.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you. Kathleen O. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with this list. Tom L., Eileen M., Kara B. and Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Tom.
Unmuted. Good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to be here with you on this Monday morning and to focus on something that actually works. I've taken step 4 with my sponsor recently within the last year. It has had a powerful effect. The main thing about step 4 is I don't want to do it. You know, I have these nightmares from my past, you know, these embarrassing moments. I don't want to face them. I prefer to eat and cover them up, and it's worked very well for decades, but I have to get sober with food. So my trouble was this last time, all right, I need to actually do it. I need to actually put pen to paper and make time to do it, and I couldn't do it. Because I have an addiction to distraction, and in this modern world, every single piece of technology out there is a time sink that I just love, just as much as I love pastry. And I was sober with food. I was losing weight, but I was wholly owned by my social media addiction. And I couldn't make headway because I had no time. You know, I was completely locked into this. And then I realized, because I've done this many times, I've lost weight many, many times, and it's pointless, has no effect on the disease. Doing this step, putting aside the time, I had to cut off that thing with technology to do it. I couldn't do both. God needed my brain, and my brain was otherwise occupied. But once I gave up, I made the sacrifice, because it's a sacrifice of time and thinking it won't be fun. Strangely enough, once I got into it, it became consumingly interesting, as our literature says. But I had to say, you know, my life is more important than following the latest news items. Anyway, that's what I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom L. Eileen M., please share with us, Eileen.
Good morning. Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater, New Hampshire. I love how it says the word next, you know, next. It doesn't say, like, you know, in a month or in a year from now. You know, so next, we immediately, you know, right away, we follow up the decision with action. And, you know, I've heard that step three is just a decision to do the rest of the steps and, you know, follow through. Nothing's going to happen if I stop at step three. And, you know, in the house clean, you know, I was told that I was looking at the source of my unmanageability. You know, my life was unmanageable. And, you know, I also like where it says, you know, we had to get down to causes and conditions. It's like, what, you know, what is the source of unmanageability? And it's not like other people. It's really what I think about this. It's not, we don't overeat over circumstances. It's about how we think about the circumstances. And, you know, the big book tells me that this is a disease of thinking. And, like, here's an example for me. I used to compulsively overeat over indecision, like if I couldn't make a decision. And I learned in the inventory that indecision is all about fear. You know, and what I used to do, here's my old idea, here's where my self-will came in, is, you know, my thinking was, well, if I just eat something, then I'll know what to do. And that was going to help me decide. And, you know, that's just another form of insanity. And, you know, that's where my self-will got me and my self-reliance. And so, like, now, you know, when I have indecision, I just do a fear inventory. And then I can get, you know, I can get unblocked and get, you know, get unblocked from my relationship with my higher power, so then I can receive guidance. So that's what, you know, relying on a higher power means, you know, that I decide that I'm going to do that from here on in. And anyway, it passed. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. Kara B., please share with us.
Thank you so much. Hi, my name is Kara B., and I'm in Michigan. I'm so grateful to be here with you guys. Eating for sure is just a symptom for me, just like it talks about in the book. I also had to get down to causes and conditions. I needed to address all those fears, all those resentments, all that self-seeking and dishonesty that I was drowning in. I didn't even realize it. I had to uncover, discover, and discard and bring things out of the dark and into the light and look at it with God. I'm so grateful that He's the one that can change me, because I'm powerless over this too. I was terrified to do my first step four. I had to ask God to take my fear and to act anyway. And I said, God, how do I do this? This terrifies me. And the answer I got was, start with just 5 minutes. So I set a timer on my phone and I would start writing. And for me, the hardest part is just the starting. And every day I'd set that timer for 5 minutes and I'd write. And if I would have known before I started, the relief that I would have found when I got to the other side of finishing my step four and five, I would have gone through it more quickly. Because once I experienced that relief, I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I do this sooner? So it is a challenge for sure, but I've done multiple steps four and five now, and every time I am directed to do another one, I get excited because I know it's more layers of bondage that are coming off. There's more things that God wants to deliver me from. I've seen over and over in recovery that the people that recover are the ones that do all the steps, especially this one. The ones that don't never get there. And that was me for way too long before I got the finally got the courage to ask God to help me act in spite of my fear and do it anyway. I'm so grateful God does not give me direction and then leave me to flounder alone. He is right there to help me. Yay for that. And that's all. I pass.
Thank you, Cara B. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Thanks for your service this morning. Thank you, everyone, for your great shares. This is Kathleen O. in Northern California, where I am snowed in for like the third time in my life, so I'm not complaining. it is pretty. So launched on a course of vigorous action, strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. So step four, and the purpose of step four is to become willing to move forward in recovery by honestly examining our addiction and actions and how those actions affected ourselves and others, learning to take responsibility for ourselves and our actions. So I had to look at my resentments, and, you know, resentments in an addict, it leads to nothing but futility and unhappiness, and that was my life. You know, resentments are common to everyone, but the non-food addict just feels bad. But when I have resentments, my solution was to overeat, to stuff my feelings rather than to feel bad. So I had to look at myself and stop hiding the truth. And I had to look within, you know, to determine the root cause of my addiction. And when I did the work, I was able to let go, excuse me, of self-will and to let God run the show. And what a relief to learn to keep my eyes on my own plate. My sponsor always used to tell me that, keep your eyes on your own plate. And honesty is huge. You know, I had to look at all my good and my bad character traits. And I see a lot of people bail at step four. And, you know, these steps aren't meant to cause anxiety. And there's really a lot of freedom in step four. For me, it was like just tons of weight coming off my shoulders, just writing about everything. And, you know, I had to realize I had a lot of selfishness. I was more interested in myself than others. And how could I get what I wanted? How could I get someone to do what I wanted? And many of my problems were due to fear, because I was afraid I wasn't going to get what I wanted, or I was going to lose what I had. So to learn to trust and rely on a higher power and not myself, it changed my life. And, you know, the end result of the steps is to have a spiritual awakening, and it changes how we think, feel, and act. So for me, step four began the process of just becoming a better version of myself. I accepted the fact that my problems were within myself, and I stopped blaming others. I mean, that was huge. And it's really important to work with a sponsor, because when my sponsor shared her weaknesses, I was more willing to share mine. And the things I did, which I thought were so horrible, they weren't that uncommon. And to know I never had to repeat those behaviors, there was a lot of freedom in that. So for me, I wrote down all the what ifs and if onlys, and that helped me discover the truth. You know, step four helped me get to the root of my crazy thinking and the root of my behaviors around food. So this step really does begin the journey of healing old wounds and, you know, truly discovering the person we were created to be. You know, there's beauty and love in all of us. We just have to do the work to get that freedom and have a joyous life. And step four brought me a lot of relief. And I now see life with a perspective of love and compassion instead of what can I get out of something. So I've heard the expression, shoot your emotional baggage to the moon. You know, the only wrong thing we can do with step four is to not do it. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, for those of you who may have joined us late, we are reflecting on the last paragraph on page 63. And I will now invite others to share. Who would like to share next?
Phil M.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Phil M.
Sob M.
P-H-I-L, short for Philomena.
spell your first name for me.
P-H-I-L.
Phil, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, got it.
Jody E.
Jody E.
And
Dana P. S.
I heard Dana P. And who S?
Michelle
M.
Michelle S. There was someone else.
Ann M.
Pam M, was it?
Ann M.
Ann M. Thank you, Ann. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go with that list then. Phil M., please share with us.
Hi. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Phil M., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Carrickfergus in Northern Ireland. And it's wonderful to be on the line. I was reflecting on my first time through step four, and I took such a long, long time to do it. It was fierce, or rather not to do it. Spent months and months procrastinating. Eventually, I tricked myself into saying 15 minutes a day, and I went to the library because I would do anything other than the work. I was running away from it. I developed such a huge resentment, many resentments actually, towards the program, towards God. And I just thought there has to be a more humane way to do this. I felt like I was walking through treacle up to my armpits in treacle, and it was just a horrible place to be. And what a great joy then to find, the encouragement 3 years ago, over 3 years ago, when I discovered a vision for you, you know, to do this work in, 10 days to 2 weeks. And that was just so, so much better. My poor first sponsor, like, she had to listen to, 54 resentments towards my poor husband. And so much more. But this way of doing it is great. And it is a freedom step. You know, it may not feel like it at the time, but I was amazed, when I found out how much I was getting my value and my sense of worth from other people's opinions and other people's behavior. And even just drawing, my awareness to that made a huge shift. It's too much for anybody else. People are trying to survive their lives, as a sponsee of mine would say. They're trying to survive their own lives. And I should not be relying on them for my sense of worth. And today I'm happy to say that my sense of worth is internal. It comes from my higher power, who's very, very loving. And she's not mad at me. She's mad about me. And it's just such a transformation. If you're in step four, just let me encourage you. Get on with it. Don't hang around. It's really worth getting to the other side of it and getting rid of that stuff. It really is. So thank you so much. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Phil. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you very much, Kathy. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So next is the first word of this paragraph. So I've taken step three, which is a wonderful, profound step, especially if I can take it with abandon completely. But I do have to continue. I'm only on step three. I have several steps to go, and the next one is step four, which includes vigorous action. I have to get busy here. I have to take a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Indeed, I can remember before coming into OA many years ago being terrified of seeing my own faults. I think because I felt like I was so bad. But if anything, I found out by doing the fourth step and by getting into recovery. And I really can't do a fearless fourth step until I have worked the first three steps, and I hadn't done that before I found OA. I hadn't turned my will and my life over to the care of God, so this something like this was very terrifying. But once I had come to believe in a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and I turned my will and my life over to the care of that power, then I could take a personal house cleaning without fear, and I could do it thoroughly. But I had to take those first three steps first. So this comes after the first three steps, and the first three steps are foundational to be able to do this. So if you're having trouble looking at yourself, and that last column, how have I been selfish, etc., if that is daunting, maybe go back with your sponsor. Have I truly turned my will and my life over to the care of God? Because once I do that, I can do this fearlessly and thoroughly. But until I do that, I probably won't be able to. And doing this fourth step is also foundational to the to my true recovery. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. Dana P., please share with us.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service and the lead-in and everyone that shared. I also want to thank all the people that are here on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Dana P. I live in California. So here we are talking about step four. And I'd just like to repeat what was just said. We do step four after step one, two, and three. And we're in the suffering, right? You know, so it's acceptance, making a decision. You know, accepting the fact that I am an addict, the first part of step one. The second part, that my life is unmanageable. You know, I thought that I was managing my life okay. And I step back now and I look at it and I go, holy cow, before recovery, I was a complete crazy nut. And then that power, you know, the power greater than ourselves. Step two, making that decision once again and being willing. Step three, being willing to turn our existence, everything, over to the guidance of that power. And here I am. How does that work now? You know, all those are just decisions. Now, again, repeating, I got to get into some action, you know. And I thought, if you're working the columns, I thought that the source of my suffering was the first and second column. You know, this person, place, thing is the source of my suffering. And here's why, because X, Y, Z. What I didn't realize, I mean, I had an inkling, I think we all do, just like deep down inside of us, we know that there is a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. But truly, truly, the source of my suffering is that fourth column. Now, as the book calls defects of character, my selfishness, my self-seeking, my dishonesty, and my fear. And where those things show up and looking at them with a microscope, defining them on a very, very deep level, recognizing that those defects are what separates me from myself, that power that lives inside God and his kids. And that word defect, I never liked that word. I sort of replaced it with other words. But if you take out the, or add an L to that, it's deflect. And so what do my character liabilities, my shortcomings, my defects of character do? But they deflect God and they deflect all of you and everyone else. But ultimately, they deflect my life and the love that is available. So I'm so grateful to be able to take the microscope onto that fourth column and to share that with others. It's just such an amazing blessing to be a sponsee and a sponsor and to share this message. So once again, Dana P. in California, I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Dana P. Cheryl S., please.
Good morning, Kathy.
please share with us?
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. in Nevada, recovered compulsive overeater. And I think for me, you know, I spent years in this program and other programs completely misunderstanding what step four was. And to me, when it said take a personal house cleaning, do a personal house cleaning, what I did was I took a personal house cleaning of the people that I had resentments against and just worked on cleaning their house, not mine. And that was my first mistake. And then when I got down to my part, column four, I did that part, but, you know, I can't even say that I remember it from the other four steps that I did because I was so focused on the first three columns and, you know, what somebody else did. And then what I would do is when it came time to, you know, letting it go, what I really wanted was for the other people to change. I didn't want to change. And I couldn't understand why the fourth step didn't work because my mom never changed, my husband never changed, and I just got back on the hamster wheel and felt very disappointed. And finally, I learned that I needed to clean my house, not anybody else's. I needed to look at my character defects, not anybody else's. And I needed to be willing and open and wanting to change. And once I did that, boy, it was a landslide of relief. And the last thing I want to share is, you know, I had a lot of fear about starting and, you know, putting these things down on paper, but the truth was, those things were in my head constantly, all the time. You know, they just ran and ran and ran in a loop in my head, my resentments, my fears. And so for me, the fourth step was just somebody giving me a worksheet, a form, and I was able to take those things out of my head, which never stopped, and put them in a logical order on this worksheet. And by doing that, there was nothing new to that. I already had it, so I didn't have to be afraid of it. And then by working through the rest of those columns, I was able to get relief. And the word I hear over and over and over is action. Just take some action. And when I take some action, it's amazing. Like I said, it's a landslide, the things that happen. Everything changes. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl S. Anne M., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. Hi, friends. This is Anne M., Washington State. I just had to jump in here because this is this paragraph helped me so much to realize that my disease thinking about food and weight was but just a symptom of a disease, and that this program of and the big book helped me understand that what I have is this thinking disease for me, and it's also, I realized in doing the work, the big book is the solution, that the thinking about self, myself, self-concern, self-seeking, self-centered, self-pity, all about that, where my defects were rearing up, and I never knew that. I never knew what resentment was either until I started working this program, and that was in 1989 of February. And since then, I have worked the steps over and over and over and over and over again, and I'm working them again on whatever the problem is in the moment. And generally, it's my thinking is warped, and it's usually about myself and how that gets down to fear the causes and conditions are fear. So it's, you know, it's laid out here. If I work the steps, and it's been said again that here's the solution, the big book gives us the solution. I'm a victim of my choices, and I can choose to do this, or I can choose, no, it's not really, you know, it's too hard. This is a discipline, and for me, I need to do this every day and work on this steps, work on improving my spiritual connection. So, I mean, Dr. Bob said it too, clean house, trust God. Trust God, clean house, and help others. And that's the steps. But it's a wonderful way for me, and what a relief to find out that, ooh, I am not alone here in this big world of people working this program well. Thank you so much. I appreciate everyone who makes this meeting possible. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Anne. We have time for two and maybe three more shares. So who would like to share?
Carol F.
Carol F.
Becca R.
Rebecca R. Anyone else?
Terry D.
Mary D.
Terry D.
Okay, we'll have to stop there, Diane. Sorry. Okay, Carol S., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Carol S. in Oregon, recovering compulsive overeater. What I wanted to say about this paragraph is that I was one of those people that it took years and years in various programs before I actually did a fourth step, and when I finally got around to it, I realized that it was because of one of my character defects that I couldn't do it. And it wasn't so much fear, I guess there's fear involved, but it was a sense of perfectionism. That first of all, that I had a hard time breaking that shell that said I was perfect. But even when I could do that, I was afraid I couldn't do the fourth step perfectly. And so I wouldn't do it at all, which was kind of one of my policies in life. You know, if I can't do it perfectly, I won't do it at all. So, of course, once I started doing it and realized that perfectionism was part of the problem, then I was able to move forward with it and get into it in more depth and start making amends and stuff. There was also so much shame involved for me in the things I had done wrong, that it was a real struggle to get past the shame and move into wanting to take some action. So I just wanted to share that because perfectionism being part of the problem needs to be set aside just long enough to get into the problem. The other thing was I was journaling at the time, and I was having trouble biting off big pieces of the four steps, and so my sponsor recommended, well, why don't you just add a little bit of it to your journal every day? And I was able to take it off in small bites and keep moving with it that way, and it only took me a couple of weeks by that. Anyway, I just wanted to share that and thank everyone on the line, and I will pass.
Thank you, Carol F. Becca R., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. And I just wanted to claim my seat today. And I love that we have this process, that I have this process of uncovering and discovering. There were so many years of my life where I just wasn't even aware of what I was doing. So many of my dis-ease that came from my day-to-day living was all rooted in long-standing resentment and fear and inadequacy and old beliefs. And so I heard recently on a speaker talking about if we do the inventory and we don't share it with another person, then it's not actually a fifth step. It's in sharing. It's in going and looking at everything with the other person that is the fifth step, you know, with God and another person. And so I'm just really grateful for that tool of sponsorship, of community and meetings, because it is in sharing. You know, when I'm left to my own devices, I usually don't end up at the end of a resentment with clear thinking. It's when I talk to someone else and reason things out that I usually see God speak to me. Thanks for letting me share. That's all.
Thank you, Becca R. And Mary D., you have 2 minutes to share with us. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Terry D. from Virginia, a recovered for today only compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for taking this beautiful meeting. Yes, I identify with procrastination on this step, but when I realized that I was going to go back to eating, I was scared to death not to take this step. And my sponsor, because I was, you know, ditching, canceling our time together, she gave me 2 weeks, you know, to pray to God, ask for the guidance, the strength to do the next most effective step. I was in step four. And those 2 weeks of contemplation and prayer brought me back to where I needed to be, and that is working with another compulsive overeater who is recovered. That helped me so greatly to take the pause. She didn't fire me, and that was a huge alteration. It changed me as well. She said to trust God. So the inner house cleaning that I did really opened me up to get closer to God and to myself and to another human being. I was afraid to trust, and now I am more trusting of listening to that inner voice and continuing to do the house cleaning I need and to work with others on this, on all these steps, but to take the steps in order, that is crucial. I wanted to just somehow gloss over the inventory and to look and gloss over my inner defects and the inner character flaws, and really they are much less invasive, like an invasive plant, now that I'm able to do a 10th step freely and to go back if I need to do a 4th and 5th step. But prayer and contemplation is essential in all of these steps. So I thank you so much for listening, and I pass.
Thank you, KD. And thank you to everyone who shared and listened today. What a lovely meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, everyone. I want to give a special thank you to Mary P., Kathy B., Kara L., Eileen M., Reggie G., Lorraine N., and Betsy H.